Hi, this is Ted Nguyen. I am in Thousand Oaks, California, in Southern California. We're with the renowned author of 20 books, June Stevenson. And June Stevenson is working on one of her many books that she's putting on to ebooks, on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and on the iPad. So June, tell me about your experience so far as an accomplished author and utilizing technology now to have your written words be published on ebooks for a new generation to view forever.
Well, it's really, it's very exciting to see these books coming up on the computer and to know that so many people are actually buying my books. You know, it's a wonderful process, and I have a good man helping me, Ted Nguyen, I have several books on ebook already.
Right, and some of those ebooks are available via the Kindle, Barnes & Noble's Nook, and the iPad as well. And can you tell us about some of the books that are already online?
Sure. The first one we put on was Murder, The Only Way Out, and it actually is a true crime book. It was an actual crime in 1950, which had really bothered me for a long time. This is a woman who, when she was 28 years old, decided to end her life, but she didn't want to leave her children behind because she had such a problem with her husband and she saw no really good future for her children. Yet she couldn't leave them behind because they would miss her so much. So, hold your breath, she threw her two children out a fifth floor window of her apartment and then she jumped herself. Or so the story goes. But then I had a researcher helping me with trying to put this crime into a novel, and he eventually found the 1950 Boston City Police Department in their archives, and we got that, and there's so many contradictions in that I was really suspicious that her husband had done it. Well, that's just one book.
Wow, that's an amazing story. It was really well researched by Art Hirsch, who is really famous in his own right and working with law enforcement throughout the country and really digging up some well-documented piece of evidence that showed that perhaps she did not commit suicide or these horrible things, but somebody else did.
Yes, it was the police report of that day who uncovered some evidence. Some witnesses had seen the husband doing things that were very suspicious. So, well, not to belabor the point. I actually kind of left it up to the reader. I nudged it a little bit, but I just left it up to the reader. Well, my other book that's on there is Tyrants in Our Time. I thought it would be so timely for everything that's going on in the Mideast. And I got onto writing a book about the terrible, terrible dictators ruling the country, life and death power over all of their subjects. Initially, I was curious about how these dictators had spent their childhood. And there are 14 dictators in this book, and everyone's childhood is the most important thing, though I do carry it through to how they got power and what they did with power. And I was looking for common denominators, and there was one for sure, and it is humiliation in childhood. Either they were humiliated by a father or a drunken father or an abusive father, or they were humiliated because their country was monopolized by a foreign power, and they would see their relatives or friends of theirs be beaten or even killed for no reason. So you just can't erase that from one's mind and from their feeling of powerlessness. So when they got power, they sought revenge for what had happened to them as children. Well, that's a simple psychological analysis, and there's a lot more to it than that.
Right, but, I think what's really relevant about this particular book is that there are, chapters about, infamous people that did horrible things throughout the course of human history. And then there's one timely one, and that's Muammar Gaddafi, who, as we know, is, doing some horrible things to his fellow countrymen in Libya. So tell us a little bit more about him.
Well, that kind of, while I have it in mind, I'm also thinking of Assad in Syria. One of my tyrants is his father, Hafez Assad, who was just horrible. And then when his son took power after Hafez died, people thought he would be more of a reformer. They really had a lot of hope in him. But he's just as bad or worse. It's just terrible things going on in Syria. So what I wrote about Hafez Assad could... Well, it couldn't apply to the son in one way because he had a luxurious childhood where his father did not. And also, you know, there are, back to Gaddafi. Gaddafi's a very intelligent man. I think he had an actual law degree. It's so long since I've written that book. And you can see he's smart and tricky. He knows what to do to keep his power and when they get power, it's addictive, and there is never enough. And the best way for them to keep power is to kill people so that any other people will not rise up against them because their fate would be death. Anyway, it was an exciting book to write. It took me about 3 or 4 years. Well, I started in 1992, and it was published in 98, and I was working on it all the time. But I was working on other books at the same time. So what do you think I should talk about now?
Well, what I think is really fun that you're working on next is a book that's really close and dear to your heart. So tell me about this interesting of interesting books.
Yes, this is a book about my dog. I've now had her for 6 years.
And tell us her name and what kind of dog is she?
Her name is Happy because she is the happiest dog we've ever known. My husband did not want to have a dog, and we weren't going to ever get one until my daughter, Christine, bought a Labradoodle, and we went over to look at it, and my husband cuddled his face and said, you know, if I could find a dog like you, we'd have a dog. And right away, I said, can we? And so we went on the web, and we went to Phoenix, and we found all these puppies. And he wanted a female. I didn't particularly want a female because they're kind of high-strung. But he wanted, and I knew if I didn't get what he wanted, we wouldn't have any. So we brought this delightful little dog home, and she's now 75 pounds. She is a sheer joy. Troubling is she jumps up on everybody, and I can't break that habit. But it's out of love. So this is the next book, and it's going to have quite a few pictures of my dog and other dogs. And I take her to the dog park every day, and dog parks are wonderful things that the municipalities are creating and sustaining, and they're so good for the dogs, and I have to say they're good for the people who bring them because you have to walk and you have to pay attention.
And it gives you an opportunity to socialize with other people and other dogs as well. So tell us a little bit about the book, and it's called Puppy Tale All, as I understand it. So give us a few nuggets of information about this interesting subject.
Yes, it's essentially a letter that the dog herself writes to her breeder, and the breeder's name is Susan. Initially, the title of this book was A Letter to Susan, but it doesn't really say anything about the dog, so we changed it to A Puppy Tell-All Tale. And she, in her letter to Susan, tells of her experiences of coming into this strange house with these strange old people and goes to go to sleep. But where are her litter mates and where's her mother that she can crawl up against? And then various things happen. For instance, I, the author, broke my ankle at one of the dog parks. Two dogs ran into me and down I went. That was 3 months repairing the ankle. Mm-hmm. And I had to put her in a kennel. She stayed in a kennel for a month, and then a dog breeder took her into his home for the following 2 months.
All right. So, you know, in our last 30, 40 seconds that we have left in this audio interview, tell us some tips that you would share with authors or people that want to be authors and publish. What is two or three tips that you can quickly share with us?
Well, I talk about fiction for one thing, because I met a woman in the dog park the other day who was just about to start fiction, and I said, don't make an outline, don't figure out what your characters are going to do until you actually have them working, and they'll develop their own personalities. And don't be too sure about the structure or the plot. Let it develop itself.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And that's June Stevenson, and her books are available online at junestevensonbooks.com. You can also follow June on Twitter at Stevenson Books, as well as on YouTube at June Stevenson Books as well. So thank you so much, June, and such a pleasure to help you with social media and to welcome you onto the social web.
What can I do on the social web?
do a lot.
I'll be friendly.